Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to this. 2020. How in the world did we get here? I remember the 2002K scare and thinking about 2000. How in the world did we get there? And now, about 3 days later, we're 20 years past 2020. And even though I'm not so much on just regular New Year's resolutions, there can be some revolutions in our lives when a new year comes. It can be a time when we look at our lives and evaluate where we're at and what we need to do, where we need to be, what God wants. And it can be a time, I do believe this, we need 2020 vision. You go to the doctor, they say you got 2020 vision, you all right. Doing pretty good as far as what you can see. And in this year of 2020, we need 2020 vision. We need to see clearly. I ask you this morning, do you see yourself as you are? Do you see yourself clearly? Does this new year encourage you to do better than you did last year? It can. It should, because it is a time we can begin again. And I want to look at this morning, I try and kind of peck at this thought a little bit about 2020 vision. Notice what Paul says, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm going to forget about 2019. Going to forget about yesterday. Going to forget about the past. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. Paul said, I'm going to forget some things. If I had a New Year's resolution, if I had a desire for 2020, I would want to see myself clearly. And I think if I see myself clearly, I would have to say I need to forget some things also. We need to forget like Paul did. He said, those things in my past, I'm going to put them in the past and leave them there. He says, I have not already attained. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, I'm still not where I need to be. Paul was the man who served God with all his heart, probably the greatest Christian alive during his day, other than Jesus, of course. But Paul said, I have not done all I should. I have still not done what I should have done. I'm not what I should be. He's the man that served God faithfully, went to prison several times, was shipwrecked. He endured what we have no idea. But he said, I still haven't been what I should have been. He says, I'm going to forget the past. I want to be honest, says Paul. I have failed. And it's so easy to, if we ain't careful, to look in the past. Look at yesterday and see where we failed. And realize the blunders of yesterday, the blunders of 2019. And if we aren't careful, we'll take those blunders, those failures into this year, into today. And if we aren't careful, it'll be like a ghost haunting us. It'll be like a chain holding us down, what I did, what I said. How could I have done such a thing? How could I have let such a thing happen in my life? But I believe what Paul's saying here is we need to forget those things. Of course, confess them. Of course, we need to get right and get them under the blood. But once we've done that, we need to put them behind us, just like last year is behind us. I think for 2020 vision, we'd have to say, I need to forget like Paul did. He put the past in the past. You may have made the worst mistakes you ever made in your life last year. But going back and reliving those things will not help you. I say, move on, move on, move on. That's what Paul said. He said, reaching. Notice what he said. Not that I have already attained or already perfect, but I follow after that I have apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. It means to reach out. It has the idea of stretching oneself to reach, to get what we're wanting. And Paul says, I'm forgetting the past, but that's not all I'm doing. I'm reaching toward the future. 2020 may be the best year you've ever lived. You may see God move in such a way this year that you will stand amazed. And that's what Paul says, I'm going to do. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I have not yet reached the goal. He's using the picture of a runner. And he says, I'm running this race and I have not yet reached the goal line. That means I've got to keep running. And this is it. Look in my past. I may see a time when I went around the curve and I got too far out in my lane and it cost me time and I'm not where I should be because of what I did in the past. But he says, I'm still in the race. And I have not yet reached the goal, so it's time to keep on running and forget about the past failures. Don't be bound by your past. Don't be confined by what you did. I know sometimes it can be overwhelming. How in the world could I let that happen? And sometimes we do dumb things. But we need to realize, like Paul, this year, 2020, I want to forget like Paul did. I think about our brother Enoch in the Old Testament. And it says in Genesis 5:22, Enoch walked with God. Oh, what a wonderful statement. That is, he's not the only one that did, but he did. He walked with the Lord. That means he has fellowship with God. It talks about, listen, our walk, our fellowship, our relationship with God. And it talks about how Enoch had a fellowship that we need. I think in 2020, we need to forget like Paul, but we need a fellowship like Enoch. He walked with God. It talks about a communion. He spoke to God personally. He listened to God as he spoke back. If you're close to someone, you enjoy their presence. You enjoy being around them. When you talk to them, you express your heart to them. When they talk to you, you listen earnestly and fervently. That's what fellowship is. That's what communion is. That's what caring about someone is. And that's exactly what Enoch did with God. He fellowshipped with his God. And in 2020, perhaps like never before, we need to learn how to fellowship with God. I mean by that, listen to him when he speaks to you. You have a love letter from your God sitting in your lap. This is God speaking to us. And every day this year, you ought to find yourself with this Bible in your lap and letting God speak to you. I say this morning, 2020 is a good time to say, I think I'll start over. I think I'll start again. I think I want to do better than I have in the past. And if I'm to do that, I must walk with my God, because I will not do it myself. And walking with God means I listen to Him. you sit down and you quiet yourself and you say, Lord, this is your word. This is you speaking to me. I need to hear from heaven. I need your help. You have something to say to me. Lord, speak to my heart and help me to hear it and help me apply it and help me believe it and help me live it and help me to love it. And sit down and read through this book every day and say, God, I'm listening, and slowly and carefully and attentively listen to what God says. I'm talking about fellowship with the Father, letting Him speak to you. I tell you, you cannot make it without it. I thought this morning, I wonder how many hours a week I study. I have no idea, but I know this. I can study 10 hours a day for messages and get nothing from God for myself if I'm not careful. I need the Word of God just for me. And every day of your life this year, will you commit to saying, I'm going to spend time in my Father's Word, and I'm going to let Him speak to my heart. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to listen to Him, and I'm going to obey what He says. We need that because God has something to say to you. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, but He does. And He will, if we listen to Him, prepare us for tomorrow by speaking to us today. But what if I don't listen to Him today? I won't be ready for tomorrow's trials or tomorrow's burdens or tomorrow's attacks. We need to listen to Him because He knows what we're going to face tomorrow, and He wants to speak to our heart and draw us closer to Him. Do you feel dry? Do you feel dead? Have you lost your spiritual energy? I tell you one thing, you'll never have that without a close walk with your God. It'll never happen. And part of that is, Lord, speak to my heart. I'm listening. Part of communion, part of fellowship, part of walking with someone is listening to them speak to you. But part of it is you speaking to them. That's what communion is. If you sit down and talk with a friend, you say something, they listen. They say something, you listen. That's communication. That's fellowship. And I want to tell you one thing. When God talks to us, we need it. But we need to talk to Him. And if we aren't careful, our prayer, if we even have a prayer life, will be so mechanical and so repetitious. We pray the same thing today that we did yesterday and the day before and the day before. But I want to tell you, real fellowship is when we sit down, we kneel down, whatever you can. Some of you have trouble kneeling like I do. But we put our focus on Him, and we talk to Him. The Lord has given us an example of how to pray. He's told us how to pray. It's called usually the Lord's Prayer. That's not right. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But the model prayer we find in Matthew 6. And here's what Jesus said. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. In other words, get alone with God. Do you hear me? Get alone with God. I know we can pray riding down the road. You can pray at work. You can pray while you're washing dishes. And that's fine. I do, even though I don't wash dishes. And it ain't because of a man thing. It's a deal I made with them. They wash dishes, I cook. But when we're to pray and really get in touch with Him, it's when we have cut aside time just for Him. Hey, if you were talking to somebody, have you ever talked to someone on the phone and they're watching a TV program while they're talking to you? And you know they're not listening to you. They're involved with the program. Well, that's how it is with God. He doesn't want to be playing second fiddle. When we pray, He wants all of our attention. Jesus said, get in your closet, close the door, get the world away from you, and spend some time with me. You say, that's hard. Sure is. that will make it hard, but it's needed. And I tell you one thing, if we turn the TV off, we may have more time to pray. Or we don't go here, or don't go there, or don't do this, or don't do that, we may have more time to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, here's what he said. Here's what he says after this matter. Our Father. And I'm not going to get stuck here, but I'm telling you what the Lord's put this on my heart right now. We're so prone to pray, and instead of getting ourselves in tune to pray, we start blubbering out all our needs. And sometimes it's so heavy on your heart, you just feel like you got to cry out for help. I understand that. But prayer should be, oh, you're my Father. Oh, you're my Father, and you love me. And I have a relationship with you. And I have access into your throne room. I am approaching the God of heaven when I pray. I'm talking about when you pray, quiet yourself before you ever ask a thing. Say, oh, Father, you're my Father. I'm coming to you. I believe you. I sense your presence. I believe I sense myself entering into the presence of the throne room of God, our Father, which art in heaven. Father, you're in control of what I'm going through right now. You're in heaven. You're on the throne. You're God. I can trust you. I can rely on you. Right now in the midst of what I'm facing, Lord, you're my Father. You're in charge. You're on the throne. And I trust you. Hallowed be thy name. You're a holy God. You're going to do what's right. You expect me to do what's right. You won't accept anything less than right. You're a holy God. I tell you, work through that model prayer as you're praying. And I tell you what, your prayer life all of a sudden becomes real. It's more than mechanical. It's more than spewing out the same requests, the same things yesterday. It becomes something that's real. It becomes something that's fresh. And you are fellowshipping with your Father. Enoch walked with God. This year, oh God, help me in 2020 to fellowship with you, to walk with you. We need to forsake like Paul did. This year we need to fellowship like Enoch did. I done found out I ain't getting through, so I'm trying to figure out what to leave out. Hebrews 11, turn with me on this one. I'm talking about 2020 vision. What can we do with the new year we have embarked on? Number one, forget like Paul did, forget the past, forget about last year, and move on to the new year. Not only forget like Paul did and fellowship like Enoch did. You're going to need that walk with the Lord this year, I believe, like never before. But then notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. These verses tell us that Moses forsook the things of the world. I think we need to forget like Paul and fellowship like Enoch and forsake like Moses this year, this new year. It says he forsook, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you have any idea what that meant? I mean, it's like someone in England's being offered a part of the royal throne and said, no, no, thank you. It's a part of like being invited into one of the richest families of America and said, well, no, I appreciate it, but no, thank you. I'll just keep living in my tent. I don't need a mansion. I'll just keep walking. I don't need a Rolls Royce. Moses forsook the things of the world because it talks there about the pleasures of sin. You see, it was more than a life of ease in Pharaoh's household. It was more than just the fact that his Moses lived as Pharaoh's son, stepson, that he was going to have life easy alone. There's a whole lot more involved than that. There was all, listen to me, the influence of that Egyptian system. And what Moses had to do, if he accepted the things and the stuff of Pharaoh, he had to accept also the religion of Pharaoh and the lifestyle of Pharaoh. And Moses said, no way. I am one of God's children. And I'm not going to take the things of God and exchange them for the things of the world. He forsook the things of the world and chose rather the things of God. And this year, 2020, as I examine my life and my need and my desire, I think I need to forsake like Moses, to say no to the things of the flesh, to say no to the things of the world. No is not a bad word. Children, you say no to them, man alive, you think you killed them. But I got news for us. Us big children are just as bad. The flesh doesn't like no, because there's pleasure in sin for a season. And the flesh wants pleasure. And the flesh wants our way. And the flesh wants to be gratified and satisfied, but that pleasure is temporary. And that flesh is not real. It's fleeting. It's a lie. But the things of God, Moses said, I'd a lot rather have the things of God than the things of the world. And he chose those things of God instead of the stuff of the world. So this year, I want to ask you, when it comes to your job and your things and your stuff and your belongings and your junk, is that going to come before the Lord? I hope not. It may have last year, but there's a new year now. There's a time when I can say, I am going to put those things behind me and forsake them like Moses did, and I'm going to put the things of God before the things of the world, the things of God before what I want. Forsake it. Forsake it. Put it away. And you know what? I believe Moses was glad that he did. It didn't mean his life was easy. In fact, it was more difficult. But it pleased God and it pleased Moses when Moses said, I'm going to say no to the things of the world because the things of the world are harmful. I said the things of the world are harmful. Most of what we want is harmful. So we have to decide, am I going to do what the Lord wants or am I going to do what I want? Moses said, I'm going to do what the Lord wants. I believe, turn to Acts 9. I'll just stop here, I think, for this morning. I'm talking this morning about 2020 vision. New year, new time. Old years gone, yesterday's past. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do about me? What can this new year do for me? Well, one, it can help me forget like Paul and fellowship like Enoch and forsake like Moses, but I believe it can cause us, if we'll let it, to fall like Saul did. Look in verse 4. Just want to read just a few verse, or a few words in that verse. This, of course, is the Saul, man named Saul before he got saved, where his name was changed to Paul. This was a lost religious man. This was a man that two things are true in his life. Number one, he's very religious. I'm telling you, he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. I'm talking about he was religious. Guarantee you one thing, he'd be here this morning and he'd be sitting on the front pew and saying amen. And he'd be back tonight and Wednesday night in visitation everything. He was a religious man. He was what we would call a good man because he did what we would call good things. He was very religious, but he was lost. He's lost. Here's a man who the man Saul was before he was saved, was a religious man, but he's also a very ungodly man. For he killed and had put in prison Christians. He hated Jesus and everything involved with Jesus. And this man is walking down the road to Damascus with one plan: to kill more Jesus people and do more harm to the name of Christ. And while he's walking on the road of Damascus, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Here comes God. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing how God can interrupt your life. And verse 4 says he fell to the earth. Saul, the mighty Saul, the proud Saul, the educated Saul, the equipped Saul, the able Saul, fell down on his knees. God broke him when Jesus showed up and he says, I'm the one you've been persecuting. Why you been persecuting me? And it says in verse 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Saul fell on his face, I believe. And when Jesus talked to him and he, he saw himself as he was. That's what I'm talking about this morning. 2020 vision. Seeing me as I am. And when Saul saw himself as he was, he fell on his face and he says, oh, what do you want me to do? How can I get help? I need you. And I think we ought to forget like Paul, fellowship like Enoch, forsake like Moses. But this year I think we ought to fall like Saul, get on our face and say, oh God, I need you. I need you. I need you. I cannot do it myself. For some, that means you need to be saved this morning. You need to quit trying on your own, quit depending on yourself. Saul did that. Our good deeds do not erase our bad deeds. What good we do means nothing to a holy God because he is so holy. Our good works are wretched in his sight. So our good deeds are helping us not at all to get right with God or to get to heaven one day. So this morning, I believe there's some folks here. I believe that. They need to fall like Saul did and say, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? I believe your son died for me and rose again. I believe he paid my payment, and I'm accepting you, Lord, as my personal Savior. I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you my life. Please forgive me. I believe there's some folks that need to fall like Saul did and say, Lord, I give you my soul, myself, my everything. Forgive me. But I believe I want to carry it a little bit further and say, I believe there's some folks here this morning that need to fall out before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just worn out. I'm tired. And I need your help. I'm tired of the battle. I can't go on. You got to help me. That was the place Saul did. That's where he came to. He did it because he needed salvation. But I tell you what, I believe there's some folks here this morning that need to fall out before the Lord and say, God, if you don't help me, I've had it. He recognized his condition. Will you recognize where you're at this morning? I'll tell you what, sometimes a new year can be so refreshing, so exciting, so revitalizing, and sometimes it can be, oh no, not another one. Another day, another day, another year, more battles, more troubles, more trials, more requirements. More demands. Lord, I cannot handle it. Good. Are you there? I can't handle it. Good. That's where you need to be. Where you can't go on if God doesn't help you. This morning you need to fall out before Him and say, God, if you don't do something, I'm probably going to quit. If you don't do something, I can't go on. I don't even want to, let alone can. God, you're going to have to do something in my heart to give me the desire and the ability to walk on, to do right, to please you, to get a new start of a new year. I believe there's some folks that need to do that. You know what? I had to do it this morning already. Can I tell you what? Everybody's tired. Everybody's troubled. Everybody's burdened, including the preacher. But there's a God who can give us grace. There's a God of the new start. There's a God that can revitalize you. There's a God that can restir you. There's a God that can give you grace if you'll trust Him, ask Him, receive from Him. Just like a little child going to a father and say, Lord, will you give me something to eat? Daddy, will you give me something to eat? This morning, I believe there's some folks that need to forget about the past, like Paul did. I believe there's some folks that need to finally get your fellowship with the Lord right this year, where you can get some help along the way, like Enoch did. I believe there's some folks that need to forsake the things like Moses did. And I believe there's some folks that need to fall like Saul did before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you can. Let's stand together.